you know, if you felt him, he's here and he's wanting to do something in your lives. And something big happened to me. Here we go. That's the verse I want up there. Something big happened to me. You know, last Sunday afternoon, they put the Christmas trees together, and we've done that for years. We always decorate for Christmas, and I helped do it. And it's funny because it's the only time I ever help decorate for Christmas is here. And it's a lot of work, but it's beautiful what happens. And so something happened to me last week. So Sunday, I'll just be honest with you. So Sunday afternoon, we're up here, we're decorating. You know that Christmas decorations make a huge mess. There's like glitter everywhere, right, Jessica? Jessica cleans. It's like glitter grows, I think. It doesn't just fall. It something supernatural happens to it. And you know, and so I was, so Monday morning I wake up and I don't know why, I was just praying and I came down and I was thinking about the Christmas trees. And in the past, we've had some issues. Some Christians don't think that you should decorate with Christmas trees and stuff. And so, you know, it's been some issues in the past few years once in a while. And for me, I've just been non-committal. We would decorate. We had Christmas trees and stuff, and I've never decorated. Well, I decorated one time outside my house because Grace did this drive-by Christmas light thing, and I put up a tree and had, not Grouch, I forgot his name, Grinch. Grinch is grouchy, right? So I dressed up like Grinch and did the whole, it was really sort of just silly, but it was fun. And so I'm not against it. I'm not against all the commercialization of Christmas and all the gifts and all that. But in my own heart, I just, for whatever reason, holidays aren't my favorite ever. Never have been. And for whatever reason. I celebrate holidays, but they're just not my favorite thing. And the Holy Spirit said he changed my attitude about Christmas Monday morning. And I was like, so here's what he said to me. It was really sort of, I don't know if you ever noticed this, the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son are one. They're three, but they're one. So they're plural. The Hebrew word is Elohim. It's all three of them. They're never apart, but they are apart. You know, that mystery of what's true. But in 1 John 4:12, it says, but if we love each other, God lives in us. Like, you look in Scripture all the time. The body of Christ consists of just one person, right? No. It's all of us. We're all a part of a body. Every one of us are part of a singular body with Jesus as the head. And it's always us. And then it says, John wrote this. He said, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And I'm like, well, I woke up that morning. I woke up last Monday morning, and I asked Dana if she'd put these words on the rail up here. Christ in us. I woke up Monday morning, and God said, Christmas is all about Christ in us. And I'm like, I love that verse. Y'all know that verse, Colossians 1:27. Y'all know what it says, right? So I'm just thinking, God, that's great. Maybe every time I see these Christmas trees or Christmas decorations or hear a Christmas song, it's going to bring to my memory Christ in us. And so Colossians 1:27, you know the verse. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Oh, I read that and I went, oh no, I'm not biblical. I'm not biblical. The Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in my mind, I'm hearing Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm like, God, what is wrong? Because I am the scripture is true. It's not, there's no mistakes in it. It's real. It's truth. It is the truth. And I was like, God, I don't get it. And the Holy Spirit said, look it up in Greek. I said, oh, okay. And that word you in Greek, you can look it up. You can Google it. You can, you know, ask AI, ChatGPT, or whoever. They'll tell you. In this verse, you is plural. So I'm like, I did hear God. Christ in y'all, the hope of glory. They're just not from the South. Whoever translated this in the NIV, they're not from the South. I understand Christ in y'all, that y'all is plural, and you is plural in Greek. And I'm like, God, that's amazing. So guys, here's what I want to remind you of. You know, the most important thing in the world that I'm going to talk about, that we've been talking about, is who we are. Our identity in Christ. Who does the, you know what? The world tells you who you are. You tell yourself who you are. Maybe your parents told you who you were. Maybe people's actions tell you who you are. Maybe you've interpreted what something that's happened in your life as that tells you who you are. I'm not important. I don't matter. I'm not good enough. I'm too much. I'm not enough. I'm not. That's what the world is defining as you, and that's how we define ourselves. Listen, I don't need to be up here speaking today. Like Dana was saying, Dana didn't think she should be speaking. Well, she doesn't have a right to say that the Christ in her doesn't get to speak. That Christ gets to talk. Ask Keith Wessel. He also shops and does all kinds of other things. But I'm going to tell you, it's Christ in us is God's glory. Like every single one of us were created, hand-knit together by God with an expression of God that he's wanting to release into the world. And your expression of Jesus is unique to you. It's you. But all of you make us. We are the hope of glory for God himself. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, gosh, I love Christmas now. God said, guess what, Alan? Every time you see a Christmas tree, remember. Remember Christ in you. Who does Jesus say you are? Well, you're a gift to the world. You're the hope of my glory. I've put the gifts that you have, I put them in you. I made you think the way you think. I made you speak the way you speak. I made you who you are to bring glory to me because you're an expression of me. There's only one of you. Do you know that that's true about you? You're an expression of God in the world, and you're the only one. It's like Tigger, you know, on that show, Winnie the Pooh. He breaks out into that song, and he says, I'm a wonderful Tigger. Tiggers are wonderful things. They bounce, they hop, they laugh, they sing. Tiggers are wonderful things, and I'm the only one. You're the only one that God's going to bless people in the world through. That's you. So we all have a unique gifting, and I want to talk about that today. I was like, so I spent a lot of time on this because it just blew me away. Every time I see a Christmas decoration, I want to remember who I am in Christ because that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about Jesus came so that he could be in you. That's why he went back to heaven, so he could live in you. You see, his plan the whole time was us, not I or me. It was never about that. It's about us. And guys, I believe that's really true. So Christmas is actually... Now when I see Christmas trees or I hear Christmas carols or I see candy canes and all the stuff we've created to represent Christmas, now I say, oh God, you're talking about the Christ in me. That's who I am. And not only that, you know what else I do? The second most important, powerful thing you'll ever do is when you begin to see Christ in others. When you look at anybody in this room, they're not just the flesh you see. You know, the Apostle Paul said that. He said, guys, I used to judge Jesus by the flesh. Remember when Paul was persecuting the church? He was judging Jesus by what he saw on the outside. And Paul said, after he met him, you know, after he met him face to face, like that thing Dana was talking about, what happened? Paul said, I don't judge Jesus that way anymore. I don't judge him by what I see or by my natural judgments. Guys, when you look at other people, you'll know the most powerful thing in the world that'll ever happen to you is when you look at people who don't look like you, who don't act like you, who maybe don't have your gifts or skills, may not have your privilege. They may not even know who they are yet in Jesus. You look at them and you realize what you're looking at is Christ in them. You're not judging them by the outward stuff anymore. It's just like a parent with a baby. I know that baby's valuable. I love them. And so when I look at this, I'm like, okay, God. So when we wake up to our true identity, we begin to see ourselves in Christ. You aren't who the world says you are. You aren't your mistakes. You aren't your past. You aren't your addictions. You're not your bondages. That's not who you are. I know who you are. It's what the scriptures say. I know who you are. It's who Jesus says you are. That's who you are. Yeah, but you're not acting like it. What, you're going to judge me by the flesh? No, don't do that. Paul said, I don't judge anybody by the flesh anymore. I don't even judge myself that way. Do you judge yourself based on what you did last week? Or based on what you did 10 years ago? Or based on what other people imply you are or you're not? As I've prayed for people through the years, emotional well-being comes from knowing who we are in Christ. Unhealthy emotional states come from judging ourselves. You might have decided you're not enough. I've prayed for people who believe they weren't enough. Can you believe somebody believes that? All of us? I've also prayed for people who were in bondage because they believed they were too much. Well, now, which is it? Are you too much or are you not enough? How about you're neither, because you were created in his image? He knit you together. He gave you your gifts. He gave you your desires. He gave you your wants. Jesus did. And so you don't get to judge yourself. From now on, I want this to happen in us. Christmas, Christ in us. You see, it sort of rhymes a little bit. Not really, but that's what I'm thinking now. Candy canes, Christ in me. Red ribbons and lights flickering, Christ in you. Every time I see Christmas, I want to develop a habit. My first thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is I want to think about that. Jesus, who do you want to be? Who do you want to express through me today? It's Christ, you're in me. And the first thing I want to think when I see Christmas, every moment, every day of Christmas, is I want to remember that. It's Christmas is Christ in us. Christ in us. Christ in us. Now, this will remind you of your true identity. Your true identity. You don't need to pull out your wallet and look at your driver's license. That ain't who you are. Well, no, you're not. You were created, and in his heart, who you really are was before the world was ever created. You were in his mind. And he designed you perfectly who you are. Now, we get messed up sometimes, right? And the enemy tries to tell us we're not. But our battle is to believe, I believe more in Christ than I believe in the mirror or anything else. So, this truth will set you free. If you don't do anything else this Christmas, this will be the best gift you ever gave. Oh, wait, Christmas is about giving, isn't it? Jesus gave his life so that he could live inside of you. And that makes you unique and special, no matter what. And so it'll do two things. I wrote down two things it does. Instead, you know what? A lot of us spend our life wondering what our purpose is. Like, what am I here? What am I giving? What's my purpose in the world? And we spend a lot of time thinking about that and searching and looking. And, you know, mostly we look on the outside. Some of us may have even studied different things just to figure out who we are. And the truth is, who you are is designed to, it flows from who you are on the inside. That's who you are. It's who Jesus says you are. You know how you find out your purpose in life? First things, look and see what was your blueprint. You want to find out the purpose for something, look at how it was designed. You know what your blueprint is? You know who you were created after? In his image and likeness. You were created in his likeness. God put his likeness on you, in you, and around you. And that's who you are. And you want to look at, you want to find your purpose? Start looking at what you're gifted at. Look and see. What do people say about you? You know, you're really good at I was just thinking this. I'm not really good at decorations. I did what I was told, and reluctantly, and not with a good attitude. Next year, I'll have a great attitude. This year, I didn't have that good of an attitude. But I did it what I was told. But some of you have had that since you were kids. I mean, you can see in children, giftings already start to come out. Some children are really good at talking. We call it sass, or talking back. But they're really good at it. Other kids, you know, you'll see them working with their hands. You'll see them putting things together. You'll see them lining things up. You'll see them relating to other people. You'll see all these giftings. You want to find out your purpose. Well, don't you think that God is smart enough, if he has a purpose for you, that who he made you to be will line up with his ultimate end goal for you? You think about it. That's true. Like, I know, I don't think I am, but my whole life I've been bossy. I just couldn't help it. I was bossy all the time. Matter of fact, everybody in my family's bossy. It was like five chiefs living in one house. It gets ugly. But you know, I didn't know my purpose was going to be to lead and to serve a body of Christ. I didn't know that. Guys, you don't have to worry about your purpose. It's in you. And then you begin to read the scripture, and you begin to see your giftings come out, and you listen to the body of Christ around you. The people say, they're like, you know, you're really good at organizing things. Well, hello. Oh, you're great at talking to people and ministering to people. Hello. Well, I just feel worship anytime around you. Hello. See, you don't look on the outside for your purpose. Look in here. And it's who Jesus made you to be. And the other thing, here's something I want to help you see today. How to find your purpose. Every day you wake up and you search the scripture and you look for who the Bible says you are. And it'll resound within you. Like, I wasn't called to be a missionary. I don't know why. It just never floats my boat. But I have other gifts God called me to. I was called to give to missions. And I do. But I've gone a couple of times in the last 40 years. Harvey goes every year several times. And I'm for him. People keep asking me, Harvey, have you been to Guatemala? I'm like, no. Wait, I did. Did I go? No. it's so many years I forget where I've been, where I haven't been. I went to Nicaragua. And on the border, I stepped over it to say I'd been to Guatemala. So I was in Guatemala a couple of feet. So your purpose is a deal. So I want to read you a verse. Now here's the second thing. First thing is purpose. The second thing is this. How do you deal with faults and failures? Like faults in your own life, failures in your own life, faults you see in other people, you know, stuff that you see it. They have faults. You know, we all have faults, don't we? We've all got issues. We all have failures. How do you deal with it when you see somebody? Are you called to be the fault police? Is that what you're called to be? I mean, some of us, especially with social media, it's made it so easy to complain and gripe to everybody because there's no personal contact with it. It's all just, you know, it's like horrible, really. It's horrible for mental health for children. Don't let your children get on that stuff, because everybody in the world will criticize everything they do or say. Well, did you see her nose? Did you see how she did her eyeliner? Did you notice that she only has one ear? I don't. You know, that's like, they're going to just like, that's what we do. In our world, we think our job is to point out other people's faults. Guys, you are not the fault police. There's a spirit, and his name's Holy Spirit, not Summer Spirit. It's Holy Spirit. Summer, you shouldn't look at me, Senator, because I got your name popped in my head. No, Summer doesn't do that. But guys, that's not who we are. How do you handle other people's faults? Well, I want to show you a scripture passage that really is true. I already did that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be holy people, don't jump over that word. I think we read the Bible so fast that we don't get it. Did God choose you? Yes. And he put you on the world champion, Super Bowl champion team. He said, you're a holy person. You know, we keep thinking we have to be holy. No, he chose us to be holy. It's like holiness wasn't your choice. It was his doing. You didn't become holy. Jesus made you holy. He chose you as his son, his daughter. He chose you to be in his family, on his team, right? So he chose you to be holy people, and he loves you. He loves you. You should just walk around saying that all day long. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. God loves me. I don't know if he loves you, but he loves me. You could just like all the time tell yourself that because it's true. It's true. The Bible says it's true. And then he said, you, and this, we read this wrong. We read this as a something you have to do. This is actually something that's done for you. And some of you aren't going to believe this. You must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy. That's who you are. When you wake up in the morning and when you see a Christmas tree, Christ in me, I have a tender heart because of him. I have a tender heart. I'm not mean. I'm not abrasive. I'm not selfish. I'm not a jerk. I have a tender heart. I don't point out people's faults. I have a tender heart. That's who I am. And then you believe it. You see, it's all by faith, not by works. Everything comes by faith in our world. It's by faith. You believe it, and when you believe that, then it releases the Holy Spirit because you have faith in what he said. The Holy Spirit gives you a tender heart. I hope you all just become big, sloppy, crying babies. Really. I mean, I know Lance is. It's really embarrassing when I see him do it. A big man like him, he's just a sloppy crying baby. He sees something, it'll just, his heart's too tender. You can't be too tender. You can't be. Then he said this. He said, you have kindness. Put it on. It's yours. Well, I'm just not a kind person. Yes, you are. Why don't you repent for believing a lie? If Jesus Christ lives inside of you, guess what you are? You're kind. You just aren't letting it out. Some of you stomp it down as hard as you can, trying to keep it in the trash can. Listen, let it out. Be kind. It's who you are. Humility, yeah. Well, you're not humble because you say you're kind. No, true humility is admitting the truth about yourself. You are kind because Jesus said, he said you're humble. Gentleness and patience. You're gentle. Now, this is a big one. You are patient. Jesus says you are. Now, if you have faith in that, just like if you have faith in his blood, if you have faith, if you believe, if you can embrace that, if you can put that on the inside, God, I'm patient. I am. Jesus, because of you, I am patient. And then all of a sudden, what you believe will start expressing itself through your life. And then people will stand back and go, man, how'd they get so mature in Christ? Well, because it's true and they believed it. So every day, every time you hear a Christmas song, every time you see a light, every time you see anything from Christmas, remember that's who you are. You are because it's Christ in you. It's the hope of God's glory. And it's us. Christ in us, right? So I love that verse. And then he says in verse 13, here we go, make allowance for each other's faults. Yeah. Because we all have them. We're all still growing. We're all still maturing. We're all still getting over the hump. We're all still, there's still trees. We keep going around and around and around and around. Listen, make allowance for that in others. Is it true? Yes. Do you need to point it out? You're not the Holy Spirit. No, you don't need to point it out. Now, I'm not saying put up with abuse or any of that stuff. I'm just saying don't go around watching for people. Like, did you see how she did her hair? She's trying to look like she's 16 years old. I know for a fact that she's 45. Well, who lives? let you do that? Well, she just shouldn't do that. Oh, really? Well, guess what Jesus says? Make allowance for other people's faults and forgive. Oh, this is tough because we do this. Forgive others who offend you. Well, if they offend me, that means they were wrong and I'm right. He said, forgive them. Forgive anyone who offends you. Yeah, but I know. But I'm right. Yeah, you're worshiping that goddess of whatever that holds the scales. You know, the one on the dollar bills. We think right and wrong is God. No, God said, don't eat from that tree. Eat me. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. That's where life comes from. Life doesn't come from right and wrong. That brings bondage and death. Guys, make allowance for other people's faults. And, you know, then he says, forgive anyone who offends you. I'm sorry. But you know why he tells us to do that? Because that's who we really are. And then he says the truth. Remember, the Lord forgave you. You're not the old you anymore. The old you died. It's dead. You've been born again. You're a new creation. And your new creation is actually who you were created to be in the first place. You were created. Your blueprint, your design is Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible says that we were created in God's image and likeness. That's who I really am. I forgive. Even when someone does something wrong, I forgive. I let it go. Well, don't they have to say they're sorry? That's human creation. That's flesh. Jesus forgave us before you were ever born. He forgave you for all sin. That's what the Bible says. Guys, we weren't created. Who I am is I'm forgiving. And then he says this crazy thing at the end, which you guys are so good at this. Y'all are so good at this. He says, and above all, you know, above all, above everything else, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And as you do that, there's a fruit that comes from that. Peace. Peace. You know, peace in your heart. Peace that lets you sleep well at night. Peace that doesn't upset your stomach or twist your guts up. Peace that doesn't cause high blood pressure. Peace that's not full of fear and worry and anticipating bad. Peace. And then he says, and always be thankful. You know, Dane, I'm glad you reminded us to thank God for toilet paper. Listen, I go out in the woods sometimes without toilet paper just so I'll know how bad it is not having it. Even bad toilet paper is better than out there. I have a lot of bathroom stories in the woods that I could tell y'all about. Okay, I'll just tell you one. Somebody that's a good friend of mine, we're out in the woods, way out in the middle of nowhere, but there's rice fields around. And rice fields have these big pumps, like pipes, like 10 inches big, that where water comes out of the ground and floods the rice field. And he really needed something bad. And I'd already given him both of my sleeves from my shirt, and I was like, no, you're not getting anything else. And then he discovered this natural, beautiful, cool, flowing bidet out in the middle of a rice field. And he told me, he said, that was the best thing I've ever done. I'm like, be thankful. Listen, be thankful. Every blessing, every good gift comes from the Father. And this morning, I just want you to know something. And I'm going to have six more pages. Listen, Wake up! I was trying to see if anybody's asleep, because if you are, I just want to make sure I get you. But I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm talking about in your heart, wake up to your true identity this Christmas. Wake up to that. You need your mind to be resolved. You know how you do it? Read Scripture. Look for who you are, who the Bible says you are. Who does Jesus say you are? Look for that. You know what we look for in Scripture? We look for the wrong thing. You know, in Scripture, the Old Testament was all law, right? And that's the old covenant that Jesus said, it's gone. Well, in the old covenant, the law would tell us what we're messing up on. And a lot of us, that's what we focus on. We focus on that instead of focusing on what Jesus said and did. And it's time to wake up. You know, the law tells you that you're bad. Jesus says you're a son of God. The law tells you that you're going to be cursed. Jesus said, I'm blessing you. That everything you're in your heart, everything you desire, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. That's what Jesus says. And guys, it's time for us to wake up that who we are isn't who we're acting like, or our history, or what we think of ourselves, or what other people think. That's not who I am. I'm a son of the King. I'm seated on a throne in heaven at the right hand of the Father. I have authority to rule and reign in ways I've never dreamed of. And guys, it's time for the church to wake up. How come the church, we keep going around the same mountains over and over again? Why don't we see more people healed? Why don't we see more people delivered? Why don't we see demons kicked out? Why don't we see prosperity overflowing in our lives to the point where we're actually funding the world? You know why? Because we don't believe. We don't believe who we are. We don't believe who the people sitting beside us. We don't believe who they are. And especially, we don't believe who the people who are messing up and hurting us. We don't. You know the problem with those people? They just can't see who they really are. They haven't woken up yet. You see, there's no difference between the person at the strip club and us. The only difference is you're awake to who you are. They're not yet. You know why we tell the good news? It's because here's the good news. This is what Jesus has done for you. This is who you really are. You're not who your parents said you were or what the abuse said you were. That's not who you are. You're not even who the government or the psychologist or the therapist say you are. That's not you. Well, how are you going to find out who you are? Look in the Scripture. Look in the Scripture. And don't look for the bad things. The bad things are telling you what happens when you don't believe who you are. That's not who you are. Look in the Scripture for what it says about you right now. And then also hang around people that believe. Hang around people who'll tell you this is who you are. They're not going to give in to who you think you are. You can tell them you're stupid and you're worthless and you're a loser all you want to, and they're going to go, no, you're not. They're going to be as stubborn as Vicki Warren, I'm telling you, and she'll never give in, right? She won't. Will you, Vicki? Will you ever give in? You won't. I've known her for years. She is stubborn. She won't agree with you. Harvey will not agree with you that you're sick. He goes, no, I read in the Bible. You've been healed. By his stripes, you've been healed. It's past tense. It's done, right, Harvey? He won't agree with you. You know what he believes? He believes some crazy thing that God has gifted him to pray for the sick, and that God in heaven wants to release healing through him on this earth in other people's lives. Hang out with people like that. Hang out with people who believe that if you give and you serve and you know, just like we're giving money to help some people who need some help for the Christmas, hang out with people like Dana. She believes you give 100, you're going to get 500 back. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? I don't know, but it's believing. And you may not get anything back, but you may get to see a light come on in somebody's eyes because of the $2 you gave or the $2,000 you gave. It doesn't matter to me. You see, God has a purpose for your life. And who you are is to be a blessing in this world. It doesn't matter how big or how small. It's going to be a blessing, and it'll bring light into the world. I believe God's created us for that. So guys, we need to agree with something. We need to come into agreement with everything Jesus did and said about us. About us, about you personally. And you can use the Christmas thing that God did to me. You can use it. Now Christmas means, now I'm like, I am so thankful we have all these Christmas trees. I wish we had 50. I may put up a light at my house. Yeah, probably not. But when I look at the lights up and down my road, I think, oh, Christ in us. Christ in us. This is about something big. And then when I look at other people's and I see faults in them, I realize there's something about them they just don't know yet. They don't know who they are. And you can't have faith about something until you know it. But when they hear, when you tell them, when I tell them who they are, then they can start to believe it, and it releases the power of God in the world. And I think we haven't seen even the slightest hint of what that looks like yet as the body of Christ. There's so much God's wanting to do. And he just needs somebody that'll believe. Believe that God in you is changing the world. Believe it. He is. Believe that when you give $1 or $1,000, God's going to change the world. He is. Believe that when you tell somebody, you know, you're okay. You're okay. Yeah, but I just lost my temper. I know you did, praise God, but that's not who you are. You're a man of peace. You have patience. You have a tender heart, and you're kind. That's who you are. And then they start crying. And they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, oh, I'm a genius. I read it in the Bible. You didn't even get a word of knowledge about it. No, it's true. It's true. So guys, this morning, I want to give you a great Christmas gift. Every Christmas thing you see, a picture, every song you hear, remember who you are and remember Christ in them too. And your world will change. Amen? All right, let's all stand up. Thank you if you can stand up. If you can't stand up, we'll send a healing prayer team over there. I just need a couple of strange people to come. If you really, 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 I will say, believe or want to believe that God wants to bless somebody through you today, if you believe that, would you come up here and stand up here facing that way? I'll change that a little bit. If you believe it or if you want to believe it. Maybe you don't believe it yet, but you want to. I didn't say you could be happy. Yeah, well, it won't be the whole church, I hope. Because I believe that God creates a give and take. He creates give and take. So this morning, you guys that are standing up here, you're clueless about what God wants to give away through you right now, but he does. Now, all the rest of us are willing to be given to. Okay? I'm going to be willing to be given to. So I'm here. And so we're going to take just a couple minutes. We have some time. You guys get to go giveaways. Be a blessing to somebody. I don't know what God wants you to give, but give it away. Okay? So God, I just thank you for this morning, and that Christ in us is what Christmas was all about. We just thank you, King. So God, would you speak to each one of these guys up here in the front, that they'd be able to give away what they have. Okay, so the rest of us are just going to be waiting for you guys to give something away.